up a meeting, and I remember we were sitting in the office, and he closed the door, and he sat down, and he started smiling. He said, "So, what you want to talk about?" Almost as if he knew exactly what we wanted to talk about. And some now, that was in 2004, so now some 20 years later, literally 20 years later, almost to the date. And so, thank you so much, Bishop, just for your investment, for being such a blessing to us. So, church family, can we stand to our feet and welcome Bishop Dwight Riddick Sr.? Come on, can y'all make some noise for him as he comes on up to share from God's word?
While you're standing tonight, can you put those hands together and give God praise tonight? Come on, we bless the wonderful name of the Lord our God. Amen. Who's worthy to be praised. The Lord bless you. You can go to your seats tonight. We certainly honor tonight the Spirit of God in this place, and we honor the presence of God, and we also honor the man and woman of God. Can you just bless God tonight for Pastor Edwin and leading lady Aria? Come on, let's bless God for them tonight. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. Wow. I didn't even realize it had been 20 years, and so I just want to say tonight how proud we are, how godly proud we are of how you have allowed God to use you and all that God's doing through you and through this great people, and to be able to be here tonight to celebrate 10 years of the Bridge Church. Come on, let's just bless God tonight for these 10 years. Amen. Amen. Honor tonight also our Pastor Desherod tonight, who's in here, in the building tonight. Amen. Amen. And Mrs. Riddick, who's not feeling well tonight, sends her warm wishes, and certainly Lady J tonight, so we bless God for all of them. To other ministers in the house tonight, to leaders, and I see a lot of folk from Gethsemane tonight. Thank y'all so much for being here tonight. Amen. We come to celebrate, and God bless you. Amen. And to this great singing aggregation that's just blessed us tonight, leading us in worship. So we're so blessed tonight to be here and to be a part of this wonderful experience. Amen. I just want to know, has anybody been blessed today? Has it been a blessed day? If you don't mind, just lean over, tell somebody, he's blessed me already today. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, let's rush right to the word of God. Thank you, Pastor, once again for the invitation to come and to share and to be a part of these 10 years and the 20 years that God has certainly blessed you and has used you in such a mighty way. Listen, the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 31, there's a powerful story there. I'd like to read it. Genesis chapter 31, I want to read verses 1 through 3. And then after I read those verses, I'd like to jump down and read verses 36 through 37. Would you whisper a prayer with me? Father, we thank you tonight and we praise you for this wonderful privilege, this opportunity to stand again to declare your sacred and your holy word. Father God, we pray tonight for fresh oil, fresh anointing, that you would send your word and send the power of your spirit, that we might hear and receive what the Spirit says to the church. And God, we give you praise in advance in the wonderful, love, and marvelous and majestic name, that name, that the only name that really matters, in the name of Jesus. And the people who love God shout amen. Amen. Come on, shout it again. Amen. One more time for the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 31, beginning at verse number 1, there's recorded these words. It says, Jacob learned. Some of you are standing, and if that's okay, if that's your custom to stand for the reading of God's word. Word of God says that Jacob learned that Laban's sons were talking behind his back. Jacob has used our father's wealth to make himself rich at our father's expense. At the same time, Jacob noticed that Laban had changed toward him. He wasn't treating him the same. That's when God said to Jacob, go back home where you were born. I'll go with you. If you fast forward all the way down to verse number 36, it says, now it was Jacob's turn to get angry. He lit into Laban. So what's my crime? What wrong have I done you that you badger me like this? You've ransacked the place. Have you turned up a single thing that's yours? Let's see it. Display the evidence. Our two families can be the jury and decide between us. In the 20 years, somebody say 20 years. In the 20 years I've worked for you, ewes and she goats never miscarried. I never feasted on rams from your flock. I never bought you a torn carcass killed by the wild animals, but I paid for it out of my own pocket. Actually, you made me pay whether it was my fault or not. I was out in all kinds of weather, torrid heat to freeze and cold, putting in many sleepless nights for 20 years. Somebody shout 20 years. I've done this. I slaved away 14 years for your two daughters and another 6 years for your flock. And you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had not stuck with me, you would have sent me off penniless. But God saw the fix I was in and how hard I had worked, and last night rendered his verdict. I want to talk tonight, as the Spirit of the Lord shall lead and guide. I want to talk tonight about it won't be like this always. I'm expecting a release. Yeah, look at the person next to you and say, neighbor, it won't be like this always. I'm expecting a release. Put those hands together, give God praise as you go to your seats. Amen. I certainly want to acknowledge Grandmom tonight. Thank God for Deacon Gibson and Mrs. Gibson. God bless you tonight, Deaconess Gibson. Listen, church, you know, God's really blessed me to be around just for a little while, and I want to tell you tonight that I have lived long enough to see and to experience the reality that changes in conditions and situations can and will happen. God's blessed me to be around long enough to also be able to see and to recognize that even changes in people can and will happen. I won't take too much time tonight to run down the long laundry list of things and people who were not in their best condition or situation, but in time. Somebody shout, in time. A shift has occurred. Change has happened. A turnaround has taken place. And I don't have to look hard or look far, but in my own life, in my own situation, I want to tell you that I've experienced things moving from bad to better, from what seemed to have been the worst to what is now better. I've seen things move from a dark spot in a dark place to a place where things are much lighter. And I've learned that in life, there are seasons. There are seasons. There are seasons. And the blessing of seasons is that seasons do change. Seasons come and seasons go. And it's been like this. I think somebody said it this way. Trouble don't last always. Storms will come, and storms, however, will also give way to calm winds and sunny days, which means that if the season that you're in right now is not the best, if the season that you're in right now is not the most desirable, then if you just keep on living, chances are your season will change. Some things happen with time. Other things happens with experience. And God knows that there are things that will change for the better, because God is always working in the background. And I want somebody to know tonight, he's really working it out for you. And I need to speak to somebody tonight, perhaps, who's living under the impression that there is more in store. Someone who really believes that you're not living your best life yet. Someone who right now feels as though you're at some station on your journey, but the next station is going to get you closer to what God really has for you. And really what shouts me tonight is simply this, that no matter my age, no matter what accomplishments one will make, no matter the progress or achievement, what I do believe is that God always have more in store, and that there is always something for which we can look forward to. Waking up this morning, going throughout the day is an indication that God is certainly not finished with us, that God is not through blessing us. In fact, we ought to tell ourselves more often than not that where we are right now is but a continuation of what God is doing, and that God is working in our situation so that he can bring about a release and new revelation in our lives. That's exactly where we are in this story that is recorded in the Old Testament book of Genesis chapter 31. I'd like for you to meet this evening a brother by the name of Jacob. Can you say his name, Jacob? Yeah, he's a twin, he's a favorite son, he's a husband, he's a father, but most of all, he's a hard-working brother. I mean, if you ever want to see a brother who works hard, Jacob is the man. The other thing you might want to know about Jacob is that Jacob has come from a dysfunctional family. But who hasn't come from a dysfunctional family? No matter how well put together your family might appear to be, I guarantee you tonight that somewhere down the line that there is some dysfunction. Most recently, I've been talking with family members and trying to dig into my family history. But I got to tell y'all tonight, the more I dig into the family history, the more skeletons I find. You ask me, everybody has some dysfunction somewhere down the line. And it's not you, if it's not you or your siblings or your parents, it's Big Mama. If it's not Big Mama, some uncle, aunt, or cousin. Everybody's got some dysfunction. So Jacob fits right in tonight, I think, where most of us live. His parents create a rivalry between he and his twin brother. So much so until out of his dysfunction, Jacob, under pressure, made a choice that was not the best. And he pays for that choice by having to leave home at an early age, leave his support system, and move to a new location where everybody and everything was strange. He's a young adult, but he's out there having to make it on his own. He's having to make it as best he can to do what he can do with what he has, which isn't much. But in other words, he has had to grow up to become an adult before it's really time for him to become an adult. And all of his life, Jacob has been cultivated at home in a dysfunctional family. And now because of his dysfunction, he's found himself in a difficult place. He's had to move in with an uncle that he didn't know, had never met. An uncle who treated him not like he was family, but an uncle who treated him like he was a complete stranger. Jacob was from the country. His uncle was from the city. Jacob was sheltered all of his life. His uncle was from the streets. Jacob was just old enough to graduate from high school, but his uncle was a gangster. Jacob was just getting started in life, but his uncle had gained for a long time. And before Jacob knew it, he had been tricked, hoodwinked, bamboozled, scammed, cheated, standing somewhere looking stupid, asking, what just happened? Because see, back in the Bible day, they had this thing called the bride price or the bride wealth. Back then, you know, you didn't just meet a young lady. And the two of y'all hit it off. And the next thing you know, you were at the altar or in a relationship. Back then, you didn't run away and get married. Back then, you just didn't date at first sight, hook up. Back then, there was no dating site where you meet online. Maybe back then, if I could say it now, like they would have said, that you got to put a ring on it. And the ring was not just jewelry from a jewelry store, diamonds. When a young man wanted to marry a young lady, he had to pay the bride's price. Somebody say the bride's price. The bride's price was simply a form of compensation to the bride's family for the loss of their daughter's labor and contribution to the household. The bride's price was also a way for the groom to demonstrate his seriousness and his ability to provide for the bride. He had to show that he was capable of supporting the bride and their children. The bride's price was like insurance. It was kept sometimes by the bride's family, sometimes given to the bride herself for financial security. In the event of divorce or death of the husband, the bride's price. It was the price that had to be paid before there was a legal formalization of the marriage covenant. So Jacob comes into town. His eyes falls on this fine young lady by the name of Rachel. She's the daughter of the man that he had come to work for. And since he had run away from home and no longer had any support from his family, in order to date Rachel, let alone marry her, he had to pay the price. And the only way he could pay the bride's price is he had to work it off. Laban, his uncle, and soon to be his father-in-law, said, if you want to work for her, I'll charge you 7 years. 7 years of wages in order for him to marry Rachel. Not 7 hours. Not 7 days. Not 7 weeks. Not 7 months. 7 long years. Rachel was fine. I mean, she was as fine as they come. But she was also high maintenance. But in Jacob's eyes, she was worth every dime. Only for Jacob to work 7 years and to be told after the 7 year period of time that there was a glitch in the system. I know Rachel is the one you want, but according to protocol, the older daughter has to be married before the younger. So while you have worked 7 years, I can't give you Rachel yet. You got to marry the older daughter. And so he consents to work 7 more years. He really wanted to marry Rachel. So the brother worked another 7. That's a total of 14. I take my head off to him. Because I don't care how fine she was. I ain't going to get any help in here tonight. I don't know, maybe you brothers would, but I'm telling y'all straight up. I don't think I would have waited and worked. Any help in the house tonight? But then in addition to the 14 years, there was an additional 6 years that he had to work for any livestock that he would take with him. 20 years. It's been, Pastor, 20 years. And in this 20-year period of time, Jacob really has been controlled by the circumstance and the situation. In these 20 years, he has been bound. He's been bound by custom. He has been bound by the situation in which he has found himself. In these 20 years, he has been restricted as it relates to what he could or could not do, who he could not have. In these 20 years, he has been limited in terms of what he has been able to do. He's been manipulated. He's been handled. He's been constrained. He has been the victim of human trafficking, for he has been taken advantage of and taken advantage of his vulnerabilities and insecurities. And I don't know, maybe somebody in this room tonight, or maybe someone who has logged online, knows something about this kind of bondage. We've dealt with people who've tried to control us, who've tried to manipulate us, who've tried to take advantage of us. And if not people, we have been in situations where we have been limited and about what we could or could not do. We have been in spaces where we could not be our own person. We've had to acquiesce to the situations in which we have found ourselves, in relationships. We couldn't figure out how to get out of them. Insufficient resources and access to capital has kept us from certain places and being able to do certain things that we desire to do. How many in this room have ever felt like you have been boxed in? Boxed into circumstances, working on jobs that you do not want to work on, being in conditions and situations you really do not want to be in, sometimes bound even by our own distorted way of thinking. You fill in the blank tonight. Where have you been bound and limited and restricted and controlled? What is it you've wanted to break free of? What's kept you feeling as though you've been hostage, sometimes even against your own will? I don't know if you've ever been there or if you know what it's like, but for 20 years, this is what it's been like for Jacob. Jacob has been in this place where boundaries and restrictions have been set upon him. You may not be dealing with restrictions as long as Jacob, but Sometimes they have to deal with some stuff 20 minutes. Can make you feel like you've been dealing with them 20 years. But we learned tonight the secret from Jacob of how to hang in there when you feel bound without losing your sanity. We learned from Jacob how to navigate boundaries and often placed around us. We observe from Jacob as we rehearse his story and learn from him that while we live with physical limitations, we do not have to live with mental and spiritual limitation. That is, he did not allow his physical limitations to control his mental ability to see that things were working together for his good. And that what the enemy meant for evil, that God was working for his good. No, Jacob bound, but he lived each and every day of his life with expectation. Listen, one of the greatest gifts that God gives us is a gift of hope. One of the greatest gifts that God gives us is a gift of expectation. One of the greatest gifts that God gives us is a gift of dreams and vision. That no matter where you are and what you're dealing with, what boundaries you are facing, even right now, listen, your hope can keep you living. Dreams and visions can keep you with expectation. You can be inspired because you believe that where I am right now is not where I'll always be. Hope tells me that no matter what the day is like, I do believe something better is coming my way. I got to tell y'all tonight, Jacob loved himself some Rachel. Made his toes twinkle, his spine jump. But as much as he loved Rachel, he was married to expectation. He lived day in and day out thinking and seeing and dreaming and imagining what the day would be like when they would once be together. He did not allow what he could not do to stop him from thinking of what he could do in the future. And while he was limited now, he lived believing that he would be released later into the destiny that God had for him. The text says, then in a moment of his feeling as though his uncle Laban's attitude shifted toward him, God shows up and releases him from the place of limitation. That's what happens in the beginning of this chapter. God says to Jacob, Jacob is there and he hears Laban's sons talking about him. He hears him criticizing and saying how Jacob seems to be prospering and that he's taking advantage of what his father had. He began to feel that Laban's attitude was shifting towards him. And in that moment, in the moment of chaos, in the moment of confusion, in the moment of uncertainty, God shows up, releases him from that place of limitation, and says to Jacob, get up and go back to your home. I don't know if you get that, but it was the shift in the attitude toward him that had become the signal of God's release. When people who have been around you start shifting and changing their attitude towards you, maybe it's a sign that God's getting ready to release you into your place of destiny. What really impressed me about Jacob is that Jacob stayed put until God released him. God now tells him, you can leave now and go back home. The worst thing to do is to leave your space that God has you in without God having released you. Now, that means I don't care who gets an attitude. I don't know about y'all, but I ain't going nowhere. Until the Lord says it's time to go. My question tonight is simply this. How do you stay put where you are in a place of bonded and restriction until God releases you? What is it that allows us to be steadfast and unmovable when we really know that God has something more for us. But yet God has not yet released us. There are two or three things I think Jacob teaches us, and I'll leave you alone tonight. One, I think he teaches us. He teaches us how to handle life between the season of restriction and release. He does so, number one, by this. He affirms that where we are right now is not our final destination. Could you just whisper to somebody tonight, tell them, I'm just on the journey. Yeah, I'm on the pathway. Because where I am right now is not God's final destination. A few weeks ago, Mrs. Riddick and I were privileged and honored to be able to go on a cruise. And I got to tell you, tonight we had a wonderful experience. We were on the newest, largest cruise ship that Royal Caribbean had. I mean, it was just awesome. Stopped at several ports. But when we returned home back to our original port of origin, it was time for us to get off the boat and to come back home. We already had our flight scheduled. When we arrived at the airport, we waited for the flight. And about an hour before, Reverend Lornetta, she's here tonight, she called me. She said, Pastor, your flight's been delayed. Suppose it had been delayed because there was a storm in the area. So we went to the ticket counter seeking to check out our flight, only to learn that the delayed flight would cause us to miss our connecting flight. We're told that we were being placed on standby. It was going to be the last flight out, and if we didn't get that one, we had to stay overnight. Now, if y'all know anything at all about me, I don't like lines. I don't like to be held up. So I start maneuvering. So I said, well, if I can't catch that one, if that's going to mess up, can you get me to Richmond? I'm scheduled to go to Norfolk, but can you get me to Richmond? Because if you can get me to Richmond, I'm going to call Pastor D. Sherrod to pick me up. And I'm going to Norfolk. And so they put us on the flight to go to Richmond. And 30 minutes before we were to board, the flight was delayed. So here we are dealing with delays, dealing with cancellations, dealing with being rerouted, dealing with bad weather, and had no control over the situation. I lack controlling stuff. I like being in charge. I like making things happen. But here I was. No control. You know, life will do that sometimes. Life will make you just sit and wait. And that's what we had to do. But while I was waiting, the one thing that I knew I was not at my final destination. We knew and we expected that sooner or later, we were going to get to where we were headed. Finally, we got to Richmond. And I got to tell y'all tonight, Richmond was close to home, but Richmond was not the destination. Our expectation was to make it back home. So what did we do? We never stopped expecting. We never stopped putting forth the effort to get to our destination. Listen, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but you've been involved in some cancellations. You've had some delays. You've been in the midst of some storms. You tried to work some things, and out of everything you tried to work, you could not make it happen. But I come to tell you tonight that just because it has not happened yet does not mean that you should not be living and looking towards your destination. But while you're there, make the best of where you are. Live expecting to go further. Put forth every effort that you are supposed to. And when you have done everything that you can do, I ought to have a witness tonight that we serve a God who will do the rest. Is there anybody who really believes tonight that God fills in the blank, that God does what you cannot do, that God will make things happen when we cannot? He still opened doors. He still makes way. He'll raise up those who will assist you. He'll take care of your enemies. He'll remove the barriers. He'll get you to where you are supposed to go. I may have some restrictions now, but somebody say, I'm expecting a release. Jacob lived every day. Even though he had to work 20 years, he was still expecting more. Here's the second thing that I think helps us. Jacob teaches us that God will use your present situation to stretch you and to strategically spread your wings so that you'll be able to take on new horizons. 20 years, somebody shout 20 years. 20 years he's been working to get Rachel as his wife. 20 years he's been working out on the farm. 20 years he's been at his Uncle Laban's house working, sometimes without receiving wages. But while he was working, God was stretching him. And while he was working, God was teaching him how to develop his business model. So when Jacob arrived, he only came to Laban's house with the clothes on his back. But God had positioned him so he could use other people's money, other people's animals, and allowed him to practice on other people's stuff so that he could perfect the business model so that when the time of release would come, he already had the startup funds he needed and the expertise to make it on his own. Do I need to rerun that? God was teaching him, training him on how to develop a model so that when he was released into the place where God would take him, Jacob was thoroughly prepared to handle it on his own. Where God was taking him was a place of fertile ground. But what good would fertile ground be if you don't know how to use it and to maximize it? Listen, wherever God has you for this moment, rather than looking at it as restrictions, take advantage of the opportunities. Whether God has you at this moment, why not learn everything you can learn while you were there? Whatever space God has you in right now, it may stretch you beyond your comfort zone, but while it stretches you beyond your comfort zone, make sure that you do everything you can to maximize where you are, because God will use where you are right now so that you will be able to flourish where he's getting ready to carry you. Make all the mistakes you can make where you are right now so that by the time you get to where you're going, you will not have to be delayed by mistakes. Take advantage of every opportunity to grow and to perfect your skill and ability. Volunteer for every assignment, because your volunteering for every assignment is going to bring dividends in your future 10 times more. See your current boundaries as a place of preparation for the territory in your future that God is about to release you into. Know that wherever you are right now, God will take it and use it, and God will grow you and prepare you so that by the time God gets ready to release you, you're going to be ready for where God is about to carry you. How many of you know that God is not about to release us into places we are not ready to handle? So he uses the place where we are right now to get us ready, because he's got something better for us, and the better he has for us, he's getting us ready so that we can handle it. I wish I had somebody who can look back over their life and say, there were some things I wanted and I didn't get them when I wanted them. I understand why now, because if God had given it to me then, I would have destroyed it and messed it up. But God allowed me to stay in a place until he got me ready so I could handle what he was carrying me. So look at somebody and say, he's just stretching you, strategically positioning you so you can handle the release. Here's the final one, and I'm almost done. He keeps praying, and he keeps pushing, even when he feels like giving up. Jacob was a worshiper. He didn't cross every T. He didn't dot every I. He came from a dysfunctional family, but at least he knew how to worship. He didn't always get it right, but he understood how to build an altar wherever he was and worship. Listen, the greatest thing you can do where you are right now is build an altar and begin to worship. And as you worship and pray and keep pushing, God is bringing you closer to your time of release and redemption. Now, I'd be the first to admit that living with boundaries and restrictions and the lack of control over your circumstances can be frustrating. It can get you to a place where you're ready to give up. But be not weary in well-doing, because in due season, you will reap if you faint not. So I implore you tonight, don't quit. Keep working. In fact, work a little harder. Each day Jacob went out, Jacob was working. He was working that thing every day he went out. Jacob was working those, every day he worked harder. And the harder he worked, the more productive he became. And the more productive he became, the more attention he gained. So much so until his cousin them say, listen, look at him. He's getting rich off of our daddy's stuff. When they saw him gaining, they start hating. They start plotting on how they could get rid of him. And what they did not know is that Jacob was getting closer to his moment and season of release. God was about to use some folk around him who would usher him into the place of release. Everybody who's working against you may not understand that sometimes they are the tool in the hand of God that is pushing you closer to your place of release and redemption. That's why you can't hate on folk who hate on you, because God may be using them to usher you into the place of your destiny. Some of you wouldn't be in places right now had not something stirred up and happened in your life to push you out. They really were not working against you. They were in the hand of God, being used as a tool of God to get you closer to your destiny. And one of the reasons we celebrate this church in these 10 years is because this church is an example of what it means to have stick-to-itness. It is an example of what it means to persevere, even when times are not going well. Don't you fool yourself. Don't think we are sitting up in here tonight after 10 years and the way has always been smooth. Things have always been easy. Don't think we're sitting up in here tonight without thinking that there have not been some pitfalls and some challenges along the way. But when we come here tonight after 10 years, what we're able to see is we're able to see a model of what it looks like to persevere, even when it seems like the enemy is trying to restrict you. When you look over and you see Pastor Ed, when you don't just see a pastor, you see perseverance. When you look over and you begin to see Lady Area, you don't just see a first lady, but you see the picture of diligence. When you look at this couple and look at this congregation, we're not just people who gather in this place and this space. What you really see tonight is the evidence of persistence. People who would not give in or give up, but people who kept right on pushing toward their destiny. And you've got to understand tonight, when you see the church, you see what can happen if you stay where God tells you to stay, if you do what God tells you to do, if you respond to God's call upon your life. This is why we gather tonight. We gather tonight to celebrate all that God has done, is doing, and how God even is moving this church in its destiny. 20 years, I didn't recognize or realize that it had been 20 years when God gave me this text tonight. But maybe what God told me to tell the Bridge Church tonight is that you're on the verge of a breakthrough. You're on the verge of a brand new release. That something is about to happen in here that is going to carry you to what God has in store. Your persistency and consistency for 20 years, God says, I honor it because I see that you have been faithful. And because you have been faithful over a few things, I'm getting ready to make you ruler over many things. I dare you tonight. I'm getting ready to get out here. But look at somebody, tell them it's my season of release. I say it's my season to be released. I don't know what has been restricting you. I don't know what boundaries has been holding you back. I don't know what limitations you've been working with. But God says it's getting ready to be a new season. This is the season of release. So I want to apologize, but I'm an old-time Baptist preacher. And since I'm an old-time Baptist preacher, I got closed tonight by telling you that there's somebody else who knew something about boundaries. I got to close tonight by telling you there's somebody else who knew something about restrictions, about limitations. I got to tell y'all tonight that there was somebody else that they hated on. I've got to tell you tonight, it's not Jacob, but it is Jesus. Who had more working against him than Jesus? But he kept doing his Father's business. And I hear him saying, I must be about my Father's business. He kept being persistent. He kept working. And folk around him hated on him. And they lied on him. They falsely accused him. They convicted him and charged him. While all they were doing was ushering him to the place of destination. He was destined for the cross. And the cross would be the place where he would negotiate our release from sin, our release from guilt and shame, our release from abuse and oppression, our release from the enemies, our release from poverty. He negotiated our release from bondage. And tonight, because of his death, his burial, and the resurrection, you and I are liberated. We have been set free. He completed his mission. You can hear him saying, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captive, to recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And I announce tonight that he or she whom the Son has set free is free indeed. There's a story that was told about a young elephant who was taken captive by a circus. And when the elephant was small, the trainer tied him to a small stake in the ground using a thinned rope around his leg. The elephant wouldn't try to break free. No matter how hard he pulled, he couldn't escape. And over time, he became convinced that the rope was too strong for him. So he stopped trying to break free. Years passed, the elephant grew, became massive and powerful. He still remained tied to that same thin rope. He never attempted to escape because he had been conditioned to believe that escape was impossible. Little did he know that with one simple tug, he could easily break free and be liberated. Truth is, the elephant never truly tried because he was in bondage in his mindset. How many people today are like that elephant, held in spiritual and emotional bondage? Not by external forces, but by the lies that they believe about themselves. They think they can't break free. They think they can't break free from addiction. They think they can't break free from the fear. They think they can't break free from past mistakes. They think they cannot break free from whatever has been holding them. But he or she whom the Son has set free are free indeed. So, on my way to my seat, I announce tonight your release. Your release from fear. Your release from undue expectation. Your release from past mistakes. Your release from traditions that have no value. I declare tonight your release from debt. Your release from guilt. Your release from shame. Your release from judgment. You are released. And not only are you released from, you're also released to. When God released Jacob from Laban's house, he released Jacob to return home. He released him to the place of favor and God's presence. And so tonight I declare, you're released tonight to your purpose, to your destiny. You're released to fulfill your dreams, to walk in your calling. You're released tonight to envision your future. You're released from what people think about you. You're released tonight. And all I know, as I go to my seat, is he's turning it around. He's turning it around. He's turning it around. He's turning around. Can you begin to prophesy to yourself tonight? Say, he's turning around. He's turning it around for me. There's a shifting and shaking in the atmosphere. I do believe tonight that my best days are yet in front of me, that I have not seen, ear have not heard. It has not yet been revealed what good things God has in store. He's turning it around for me. How many of you believe that tonight? How many of you can receive that tonight? There's a shifting in the atmosphere. He's turning it around. It won't always be like this. He's turning it around.